Welcome to Relationship 360 Degrees, and thanks for joining us this evening for tonight's Why Men Don't Want to Be Dads episode. I'm Tiffany Williams-Jallo, producer and host of this program, which airs Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern right here on Blog Talk Radio. And tonight, my hope is that this show will help society understand why record numbers of men are avoiding fatherhood and why many men that are fathers don't wish to be and often leave their children and families as a result. Also, what impact does this have on families and society at large? Well, I've invited Kerry Casey. He's the CEO of the National Center for Fathering and author of Championship Fathering, which he wrote while serving as a chaplain to the Kansas City Chiefs, which is my hometown NFL team, I like to proudly say. Since assuming the helm of the NCF, or National Center for Fathering, in 2006, the organization has published multiple books and two free ebooks, which we'll tell you about later on in the show. NCF has also updated the Fathering Profile, which is now referred to as the Championship Fathering Profile, or CFP. In June 2014, NCF launched an energy-infused website and new logo, rebranding itself, while affirming its passion for serving fathers, families, and communities. And in the past year, NCF has expanded its online reach and engagement through dedicating resources to website, email, and social marketing. So certainly a great team there supporting Kerry at the National Center for Fathering. They were very responsive to my request to interview Mr. Casey tonight. So Kerry, you should be very, very proud of your team and what you guys have accomplished, you know, since you have been at the head of the organization, the National Center for Fathering. So thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so very much for having me. I'm honored to be with you.
Awesome. And, you know, as I mentioned, you were the chaplain to the Kansas City Chiefs, and you currently live in the Kansas City area, which is my hometown. Also, something I did mention in the introduction is that you've actually preached or, you know, given the word, you've ministered at my former church, First Baptist Raytown. And I definitely enjoyed, you know, hearing you speak, you know, when I used to attend church there. Of course, I'm in New York City now, but like I said, you know, hearing you speak was always a pleasure. You're very inspirational and motivational, and so that's why, you know, one of the reasons I brought you on, not to mention the fact you're ahead of, you know, one of the largest fathering, you know, organizations, you know, in the United States and across the world, really.
Yes, we're very honored to be with you, as we stated, but then we're also honored when we're there at First Raytown. So very glad to hear that you're in a wonderful city of New York City. I grew up in Virginia and attended seminary there in Boston. But anyway, you came from a great city also. We're really honored to be here in Kansas City, and we love our Chiefs also. But my roommate in college, where I studied at the University of North Carolina, is arguably the best linebacker ever to play the game, and he played for the Giants, and everyone in New York would know him. His name is Lawrence Taylor, and so we're still working together with his fathering as well, and he has a new adopted son, believe it or not, and he's doing very, very well, and so we have been friends and still in touch and all that. But anyway, I share with the folks, you talked about our team at the National Center for Fathering. I always tell them, teams can win championships when you play your position, when you stay in your lane, you have a chance to win a championship. And that's what a mom and a dad does when they play their position. Dad's not supposed to be mom. Mom's not supposed to be dad. But when you play your position and play as a team, you have a better chance to win a championship. And I'll say this real quick. I share with them, I'm the CEO at the National Center for Fathering. And basically, I'm the chief encouragement officer. And so I encourage the greatest people that help us get this message out of inspiring and equipping dads to be engaged in their children's lives. That's what we do.
Well, you know, I've actually had a chance to witness you as a father as well. I was just thinking about it. But I've actually been to your home. It's been several years ago, but I actually, you know a friend of one of your daughters. My friend, she invited me to a get-together at your house. She was rolling through, so I went with her. And, you know, I just remember when I was at your home, just how loving and warm you were to your wife and children. I can tell, you know, that they really admire the work that you've done as a father and a husband. So I can tell you, Relationships 360 family, that Carrie doesn't just talk the talk, but he walks the walk as well. So we certainly definitely appreciate, you know, you putting what you preach into practice. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I will be able to do the same. You know, with the role that I play here as the host and producer of Relationships 360, and then, you know, also with the blog, which is relationships360.com. So, yeah, hopefully, you know, I'm being a good example for you guys out there. And also, speaking of being a great father, you actually wrote the book that I mentioned in the introduction, Carrie, Championship Fathering, which included a foreword by a former Indianapolis Colts NFL football coach, Tony Dungy. And, you know, he's also been known as being a great dad as well. And, you know, I understand that the book asks fathers to commit to five actions. Can you tell us more about that?
I sure will. And I'm really proud of what you're doing and being in our home and that type of thing is awesome because I want to let the dads know out there, or anybody. Number one, there are no perfect dads. Carrie Casey's not perfect. But I just love, I always wanted to be.
Hey, Carrie, you kind of cut out, so I don't know if you went on mute. But, yeah, if you can push
are
that mute.
Can you,
there you go. Yeah. continue. What were you saying?
Yeah. But anyway, there are no perfect dads. I want to let dads know there are no perfect dads. Even being the CEO at the National Center for Fathering is fear and trepidation. I want to do well. But more than anything, I really love, the greatest thing I can do is to be a man of God, a husband, and a father. The rest will be icing on the cake. And as I do that, I will win. We will win a championship. And I received a great heritage from my father, who was a wonderful dad, but was not perfect. But he really modeled for me what it means to be a man of God, husband, and father. But then he passed 15 years ago, and he left his legacy with me. But now I have my bride of 38 years. I have three children that are grown, and I tell people we kept having fun. Now we have Chance, who is 18 years old, and we have 9 grandchildren. And I'm just living my dream, but I did not know it would be this hard or this busy. And so what I mean is a crisis in America of where we're called to so many different places and the need that is out there. But then thinking about being that model and being the best dad I can be for my children and grandchildren and husband to my bride. But I'm inspired. I'm having fun, believe it or not.
Absolutely. So, yeah, if you can quickly mention the five actions that your book asks fathers to commit to. Again, the book Championship Fathering. That'd be great. You don't necessarily have to get in depth But yeah, I would like to know what those five actions are, and then maybe we can delve deeper into those later.
Great. I'm doing just like I normally do, where I get off track and all that. My bride helps keep me in line. And so you asked me the question earlier, and that's true. But Championship Fathering, How to Win at Being a Dad. That's the book. I'm getting ready to write a new book, Championship Grandfathering, How to Win as a Granddad. But here's the thought. Number one, through our research of thousands of dads, here are the three things that clearly come out, believe it or not. Number one is that they're loving. They love the child, and they love the child's mother. Even if they're divorced, that clearly comes out is that they love the child's mother, respect her. But then, not only do they love them, but they coach their children, not just on the playing fields and all that. I have children that were great athletes and all that, but Chance, who's 18, he's a wonderful athlete, but he doesn't love sports. He plays tennis. But he also is an artist, and he's a singer, and he's a dancer. And he will go to college on a scholarship for art. And so all the children have a different bent. But here's the thing. They love their children in Championship Fathering. They coach their children. They are aware, and they are involved. That's what Tony Dungy, who you mentioned earlier, a great coach is involved, and he's aware of his athletes and the different type of talent that they have, but they love, they coach, and then they model. You don't just preach a sermon or speak as much as I'm speaking now, and I work hard when I can teach, but ultimately, children, they want to see it. People want to see a sermon, not just hear one that is preached, although the preach word is important, but when people can see a man, a father, a woman, or anybody in their role, when they can model it. So they love, they coach, and they model. But then you encourage two other tenets of Championship Fathering is that you encourage a child without a dad. Young girls need their dads. Boys need their dads. And so they need to be encouraged. A child that doesn't have a dad right here in my neighborhood. Well, the people that are listening, I would ask them the question, who are the children? What are their names in your neighborhood that don't have a dad? That would need a father figure as an escort to a dance or something. A young lady would need it. Or, in fact, a boy who wants to learn more about football, wants to learn more about academics or whatever, but they need that male role model. Women and mothers are outstanding. I had a wonderful mother as well. She passed 8 months after my father the same year. But the point is, mom, great mom, but she was not dad. Girls need to smell their dad's High Karate, Brute, or Aqua Velvet. Well, those are old colognes. That's what my dad
wore. Old Spice was my dad.
Oh, yeah, Old Spice. Popular. I was on TV one time, Fox broadcasting or whatever, in Washington, D.C. I was on TV, and so I mentioned what I just did, and there were people in the green room as I came down to get some makeup off of my face. The girl said, "How did you know to say that?" And they began to talk about the smell of their dads. They can remember their dads that chewed Wrigley gum in all of this. And it brought back memories. And so in Championship Fathering, a dad loves, he coaches, he models, encourages a child without a dad, because every child needs a father, grandfather, or father figure. When they have that, they will not only survive, but they will thrive. But then the fifth tenet of Championship Fathering in the book is that you enlist other dads. So you don't let dads drop out of the game. When a gentleman says, "Well, I'm thinking about getting a divorce. I've fallen out of love," in this type of thing, or I don't really want to be a dad anymore, or they feel they're inadequate. They were ill-prepared. And a lot of times dads today, they did not have it modeled. And as tough and as big time and as rugged as we are, some of these great athletes, they're scared. They're more scared sometimes of being a dad than running out there into giant stadium and playing in front of 100,000 people, millions on TV. They would rather do that than to have a little baby come in the world and then have to be called dad because they did not see it modeled.
Gotcha. We're about to get into that in terms of, what causes men to shy away from fatherhood. But before that, I'm curious to know if those five tenets that you talked about, loving, coaching, modeling, your own children, encouraging other children that don't have a dad or a father figure, enlisting other dads, to join the team. If those five tenets are what laid the groundwork for updating the fathering profile, which
yes.
is now called Championship Fathering Profile.
Yes, I would encourage folks to go to our website, fathers.com, and to look at that profile, dads, and to fill it out and to gauge how well you're doing as a father. And believe it or not, when I came to the center and we had a lot of the research, and we had the strongest research resources, training, and programs anywhere. I mean, fathers.com, they're great fathering organizations. They're great organizations that started out of ours. We do not boast, but we have some brilliant, in-depth study. We're not just talking about this thing. I grow every day when I go to my office of what I do study and prepare for, but 25 years of deep, in-depth personal fathering profile, and a dad can go there and gauge and see how well they're doing. When I came, I filled out a small profile in how well I'm doing as far as loving, coaching, modeling. And so to be a great dad, I had to get 36 or higher on this test. I received 35, and my son Chance was 10 years of age then, and he said, "Dad, you need to fill that out again because you are a great dad in this type of thing." I said, "No, son, I want to keep the score of 35 because I want to let dads know there are no perfect dads, and the CEO at the National Center for Fathering is not a perfect dad." And so it's so encouraging.
Absolutely. But, being the fathering profile, the championship, father's book, all of that is great. But, of course, this show tonight is about, men that don't want to be dads. Let's kind of get to the bottom of that and kind of explore, some of those reasons. Talk about, the impact of that decision on families, on society, on communities. Let's explore
yeah.
that. And then also I would like to give the opportunity for our listeners to join into the conversation as well as we delve more, into tonight's topic as well. You can give us a call at 714-409-0610. I do know that there are some of you that are on the phone lines right now. I'll come to you in a couple of minutes here, but I want to get into some more questioning with Carrie Casey, our guest tonight. So let me ask you this, Carrie, as first question on tonight's topic. Do you feel that men want to be dads just as much as women wish to be mothers?
Well, as far as that's concerned, as far as a comparison, I mean, when you compare a man with a woman, we do know, as we stated in our research of thousands of dads, is that they really do love their children. Sometimes you have deadbeat dads. Some dads just don't want to be there. We're not just talking about urban. We're talking suburban. We're talking rural. We're talking rich and poor. 50% of the marriages in America are ending up in divorce, outside the church as well as inside the church. So when people talk about, oh, how wonderful marriage is and the whole nine yards, why is it that we're leaving? And so many times we are talking a good game, but we are not living it. It gets tough at times in marriage. And Melanie and I, after being married 38 years, I can't believe it. It's like, do I really know this woman? She seemed, I mean, it's like the older we get, it's like I'm still learning her, but it is a fact. It is a fact.
Change and grow. Yeah. We change and grow over the years.
It is better than it's ever been because I'm also taking the time and the effort in getting to know her. And so I was speaking to the Kansas City Chiefs a few years ago, and they always ask me when I fly into a city and speak to them or something, they ask, so where have you been? They want to know the lifestyle of an old guy that's 59 years of age now, and it's like he's ready to die, and they're young, and they have testosterone is so high, and they're big athletes making boatloads of money. So they ask the question at times. So where have you been? I say, well, we had a father-daughter summit in North Carolina, and I flew into Indianapolis to speak to the team or whatever. And so they said, really? They said, fathers and daughters? And this type of thing, I say, yes, daughters need their dads just like sons do. And I said, girls that have a dad at home, not a perfect dad, but a dad at home, they're more secure. Our research shows this. They're more secure. They're more confident. They do better in math, research shows, and also they will probably marry a guy with similar facial features as their dad. And they said, are you serious? And I said, yeah. I said, my marriage with my bride now is better than it's ever been. And you always have a little smart guy on the team that's going to ask the question in front of all the guys. He said, in every way? And I said, yeah, in every way. And then he said, sex? And I'm like, yep. I said, maybe not as often, but it is great, greater than it's ever been.
Quality. Like, it's not about quantity. It's about quality. So, you know, Tracy, you're painting a beautiful picture of marriage. So why do a lot of men or some men, you know, shy away from fatherhood?
Yeah.
What's preventing them from wanting to be fathers based on, you know, the research, you know, that your organization has done and in your experience in working directly with lots of men?
Right. Yeah, well, let me answer this real quick in what you're saying. But one thing I share with them, even in the sexual way, is better. And they say, why? I said, because I am getting to know her. Now, to answer your question, and that is this. Many times, the young men have not seen it modeled before them and have not seen it modeled in a positive way of how you deal with relationships. You don't just lash out, you don't demean, you don't tear down, but you work to build that other person up. The more I build Melanie up, I do not want to leave because I sense, I see, I feel the value of who she is and how she will help me win. I cannot be a better dad, I feel, without her. So many times, to answer your question, it is a fact they have not seen it modeled. They have not seen many times the great value, or they have not been taught by another man or mentored. In essence, your responsibility, your priestly calling, the gift that you have that your bride can never have, or another woman cannot raise a boy or girl the way a father can. She has a role, yes. And I congratulate and I applaud those ladies that have been there, that have paid a price when us men have dropped out of the game and went up into the stands and sit down and are watching the game rather than being in the game and playing their position to help us win. So many times they have not seen it modeled. Sometimes also, they talk about deadbeat dads. There are some dads that are so embarrassed, so hurt because they don't have the education. Some of them don't have the greatest reading skill. Some of them don't have the best job to prepare for taking care of their families, and they are embarrassed. When my bride, one of the greatest things she can do, she can tell me, I don't love you anymore. That will not hurt me as much as if she disrespects me or demeans me or does not follow my leadership or tries to function in my role. That injures me more. And she's never said she doesn't love me. But the point I'm making is a man wants respect. A woman really wants love. And when you come together with that, you're making a great relationship. And believe it or not, I cannot be all of the man that I need to be or the father apart from my bride. And that's just a fact. That's why I firmly believe that God created a man, he created a woman, and the way he designed us, oh my goodness. The way my bride looks, even at 59 years of age, she's still beautiful to me. She still is such a great support. She's deeper than she was when we got married at 21 years of age. We have grown together. No, it's perfect. I get upset. We can argue at times, but when it gets down to it, I'm thinking, well, babe, if you leave me, if you want to leave, I'm going to go with you. It's a fact. And so I would do better. But a lot of times they don't have it. They don't see the model. And then men, believe it or not, we need to be loved. Like I said, I need my dad to tell me, Carrie, I love you. I ask these athletes, I ask these pastors, I ask business people, political leaders in Washington. We can shut the door to their Senate office or Congress or whatever as a representative. And I can look them in the eye and I can ask them, what were some of the similarities of you and your dad? And they would say it. I said, what were some of the differences? What would you have wanted to hear? If your dad could be here today, what would you want to hear? You know what they say? I love you. I'm proud of you. You are a winner. And do you know, I get to see grown men cry.
Mm-hmm.
When I looked them in the eye and I said, I'm your dad for a moment. You can't hear your dad's voice today. Your dad has passed on. He's not here. But I look them in the eye and I said, I'm your dad for a moment. If he could see what I see today, your nice haircut, the way you dress, the way you are articulate, the way you are trying hard, working two or three jobs even, he would be so proud of you. Do you know they tell me I needed to hear that today? And so a lot of times us men are competing or we're battling against the world. We're unable to keep our poise because we're losing our minds and we're looking at all of the things that the world defines us as, as a dad. We're buffoons.
So, you know, Stacey, what I'm kind of gathering from this is that when men don't get that affirmation, you know, from another man, and particularly a father or a father figure, then I'm thinking that maybe this is the reason why it causes problems in relationships with women. Because,
well,
you know, the man is,
well,
you know, looking for the woman. You talked about respect. And so, you know, if they're not getting that, then that could potentially set up problems in the relationship and, you know, cause those relationships to fail.
You got it. You are spot on. I am so thankful and glad that you have this radio time, that you are doing what you're doing to get this word out, because when a man or any person is not secure, they can be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people, hurt people hurt people. And when a man is not respected, he's going to go and try to find that respect in some way. That's why we try to thrive so much in our job.
Love in return.
And they have to. It's like I trained my boys and my daughters. They came to me before they got married, and they're like, Dad, what do you think? I'm like, think about what? They said, they asked me about Shantan and John. Those are my daughter's husband's names. And I said, what do you mean what I think? And they said, what do you think? Do you think they can deal, as you say? And this type of thing, I said, yes, by all means. Even if they didn't marry you, they are like sons to me. And so that's all my daughters really wanted to hear, because they're like, oh, wow, they're close to Dad, and we respect Dad, and they have seen Dad. Just like my sons, my natural sons, said they want to marry a woman like their mother, because they have seen how their mother respects their dad. Do we have boatloads of money? You are not home. We're not filthy rich. Our needs are met, and my bride is a wonderful stewardship of our monies and we give money to the church and we like to give a lot. But when it really gets down to it, they have seen it modeled through tough times, stressful times, not as many finances, all of this. And they have seen how we navigate that as a team in order to win a championship. And so as dads take that head coach position, and that bride is an assistant coach, it's not that she's demeaned or less than, but that's the way God set up the order of things. And so my bride loves it, letting me know what day it is as far as what we have in the bank and things. I know I'm all over the map when I'm talking, but when we have our budget meeting, she said, well, babe, what do you think we should do in this situation? She's following my lead. So I take the weight. I am the one that's supposed to take that pressure because I am the head coach and the leader, but I do not demean her. She is right by my side. And that's what we must do. But going back to what you were saying, if a woman, if a woman is not loved by her husband, she's going to seek it somewhere else unless she is very strong in seeking God's face through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. If she's not doing that, my bride, even when I get out of kilter and think it's about me and I'm on this radio show or I'm at the White House with the president and blah, 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 and all the great things we get to do. But she's the one that keeps me humble. She's my greatest fan, but she lets me know, sweetheart, we don't need to embellish. It's not about us. We are called as a team to help our fellow man. And she is a great teammate. Perfect? No. Am I perfect? No. But I have to keep a close check on my relationship with my bride in order to be that father and that role model. I can be at the National Center for Fathers as a CEO, but I'm finding out that people are really watching me and watching those of us that are in the fatherhood field to really see if this thing can really be lived out and played out in a positive way.
Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, telling our listeners about, you know, what tools we could possibly place in their hands in just a couple of minutes. I want to go to a break in a couple of minutes, and then, you know, I'll talk about that. But before, you know, we go to break, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. We talked about, you know, what, you know, causes some men to shy away from fatherhood. We talked about childhood circumstances of possibly, you know, being abandoned by their own father or not seeing a strong, you know, father figure. Also, you know, embarrassment about being, you know, financially unstable, you know, not well educated. So we talked about a lot of things and having insecurities behind that. As well, is what, you know, causes some men, you know, not want to become fathers. But then, you know what, I was thinking that, you know, there's also, or society, you know, makes it difficult for men to be fathers as well. You know, you have paternity leave. Men typically get 2 weeks for paternity leave, but, you know, this is often discouraged by corporate America. You know, I've been reading, I did my research before the show, and, you know, I saw stories about, you know, many cases where, you know, men were called back to work, you know, within a couple of days of their child being born, you know, because there was pressure, you know, from their bosses to come back to work. In order to, you know, to help the company and move the company forward. So, you know, why and how do we change this so more men can spend time with their newborn children during their early development? Do you have any ideas for that, about how we can change that?
Even if I had to make a career change, I'm convinced. I'm a CEO of a nonprofit. I don't make boatloads of money, but I am very blessed with what I make. But it is a fact. If I had to leave my position to take care of my family, I must do it. Now, America, the culture has shifted in such a way, it's about me. It's about stuff. It's about things. in gadgets, in cars, in houses, in land. Get back to work, because when you come back and you produce, we're gonna make X amount of money for our company. Now, I want you to know this. Tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, I will meet with 7 other CEOs in Kansas City, and they make much more money, a lot more money than I do. They help us out even, believe it or not, at the National Center for Fathering. But I have learned so much from my CEO friends that are concerned about their relationship with God, that are concerned about their relationship with their bride, with their children, how they treat their employees. What can they do to maximize keeping the main thing the main thing? America has gotten out of kilter. And yeah, there are poor folks, and it's a fact that we need to help the poor. We got to do that. Jesus talked about that in the Bible. But I am convinced if we do things right, with fathers and mothers being together, taking care of the home, we will be able to deal with health care, education, and economics. Because when a daddy's not there, if that dad goes too soon and he's there making money for the company, he's even making a lot of money and sending it home to the bride. But when dads are not engaged in their children's lives, when they are not there, a child is more likely to be poor, more likely to drop out of school, more likely to be involved in crime. Girls are more likely to be pregnant as a teenager if a dad is not there. Now, if the dad, no perfect dads, as I stated earlier, but by dad just being there, those statistics flip-flop, believe it or not. And none of my children have ever asked me, so dad, how much money do you make in this type of thing? They're not concerned because they know. My sons even tell me, dad, we watched you get up early, go to work. So they know how to work as far as that's concerned. Dad, we saw how you treated our sisters and how you discipline us. You discipline us, but you still love us. So my presence is so, so vitally important to be in their lives. And I think about it, in fact, 75% of adolescent patients in clinical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless and runaway children come from a fatherless home. 85% of children with behavioral disorders, you look at our schools, I'm passionate about this, please forgive me, I get fired up. But anyway, 85% of children with behavioral problems and disorders come from fatherless homes. 71% of teenage pregnancies come from a fatherless home. 71% of high school dropouts, I said that earlier, repeat arsonists, 90% of them come from fatherless homes. I got boatloads of statistics in my mental sky that just literally enrage me and hurt me. And it's not just an African-American problem or white problem or Hispanic problem. This goes across the board as far as the culture that you stated earlier. The culture has shifted to the point, well, we don't really need to be married. Well, I'll get with you when we need to help. You think of, it's just topsy-turvy. 63%, this breaks my heart, 63% of youth suicides come from a fatherless home. Every child needs a dad, Tiffany, that depend on and count on. When they have that, they're going to do well. They're going to do good. Now, there are kids that get off track, yes. When it really gets down to it, when I wanted to do crazy things when I was a kid, I could literally see my dad's face and my mom's face. One time I was ready to smoke the marijuana, these guys on the basketball court, Gary, let's smoke. Come over here. Let's smoke some marijuana. You can think better. You can study better. You go down the list. But I am not kidding. I put that marijuana J to my mouth, and then I could literally in my mind see my mom and dad. I could see my pastor's face. I could see my coach's face. And I could see adults in my neighborhood clear as day. I gave it back to those guys, and I ran off home. And they said, Case, you're a sissy. You're a chump. And I can't tell you the other words they said.
Yeah, but you got a lot of people that love you. So.
Oh.
So yeah, I mean that is fantastic. And I just wanted to get move along pretty quickly because we're running out of time. We've had a wonderful discussion. I thank you, for shedding light on those statistics, negative statistics that result from fatherless homes. I thought that that was fantastic to bring out on the show tonight. Driving home the importance of, having a father. And, I was thinking about, the phenomenon of stay-at-home, dads. More and more dads are staying at home, but, there's still a stigma in society for dads that choose to stay home, and help to raise children. So, well, what are your thoughts about, why stay-at-home dads are frowned upon, and how can we support stay-at-home dads and fatherhood in general?
Well, we're in a culture and it's been that way. I mean, we did not have the technology, social media, and things years ago that we have now. Most of the jobs, if you will, you venture out of your home, you go and work, you come back home, bring that home the bacon, as we say. But there are jobs today that you can sit in your home with a and with the social media and all that, and you can make just as much money or more money working in your home. But there are times today that your bride could be my bride. My bride is a school teacher. They don't pay teachers boatloads of money, but it is a fact she's educating people's children. There need to be educators and schools, and we need to do that. But if a dad is at home and he's able to take care of that home, and that bride is gifted in such a way, that is a blessing from God, but they have to work together to navigate that in order to understand their roles and not to be embarrassed thinking, well, I'm a man, I'm supposed to go out, then I'm supposed to come home. It is not necessarily that way, but it is a fact that does not diminish who you are in the way God made you as far as being the man of your home. And you do not have to run around and scream out your title, I'm the man of this house. That will clearly come out as you work biblically to be who you are as a man. It isn't just always the geographic.
Carrie,
Yes.
we can't. There you go.
Yes, we have to take a break.
Oh, you need to take a break?
Oh no, I thought you were gonna have. I
No,
thought
no,
that's
no,
what you were
no. I think you accidentally pushed the mute button, but that's
Oh,
okay.
please
Yeah,
stop it.
but
I don't know.
I think, go ahead.
I'm on a landline, and well, believe it or not, my bride is so technology savvy. She schools me up. We got phones all in the house. She helps me with this social media. The folks at the office help me with that. I'm more of a people person. That's why it takes me 5 minutes to answer a question or whatever. But as far as the roles as a dad, if you literally have to make a decision to make, I believe this, less money to protect and provide for your family, do it. Somebody's riding in the car right now, probably thinking, is this guy crazy? He just said if you have to make less money to provide for your family, do it. What am I saying? Be in a position that your children can know you and that they can see you function with their mother. That mother needs to make sure that she affirms her husband, support him, that her daughters can see what it means for a woman to love a man. And to see how that man can just bloom and blossom. And that when he blooms and blossoms, he will put off a fragrance that will go to that bride and to those children, and their needs will be met. I guarantee you. I've seen it happen. And even my bride of schooling me up, empowering me in my knowledge. And when I'm not good at something, and she is, I'm not supposed to sit there and play the game like I know everything. She supports me. And vice
That's
versa.
Fantastic because, you know, being a know-it-all, to me, I would think would be, you know, very, very exhausting. But, yeah, I mean, that was fantastic, you know, what you were saying, Carrie. I do want to pause right here for a couple of minutes, let that marinate. And when we come back, I want to talk about child support and whether men should have to pay if they were adamant in expressing to the mother that they never wished to be a dad. And I'm sure that will spark some phone calls. So if you guys want to weigh in, you can give us a call at 714-409-0610, or you can add your comments to the chat room. I look forward to hearing from you guys and hearing what you have to say in a few minutes. And we'll be right back.
How do I get my husband back?
Why won't my wife have sex with me?
Where can I find a good man?
Is she marriage material?
Why do my kids hate me? Find answers to all your relationship questions during Relationship 360 Thursday nights, now at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, on Blog Talk Radio. Plus, win relationship resources and tools to help repair, build, and maintain positive, enriching character-based relationships. Set a text or email reminder for the next episode of Relationship 360. Listen anytime at www.blogtalkradio.com/relationships360 or download the show on iTunes for easy listening on the go. Relationships 360 at www.blogtalkradio.com/relationships360. Thursday nights, now at its new time of 9 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back to Relationships 360 Degrees, Thursday nights at 9 on Blog Talk Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Relationships360 and Facebook at www.facebook.com/Relationships360.
Welcome back to Relationship 360 Degrees. I'm Tiffany Williams-Jallo, your host for tonight's show, Why Men Don't Want to Be Dads. And I hope you enjoyed that short instrumental of Papa Was a Rolling Stone by The Temptations, of course. I'm joined by CEO of the National Center for Fathering, Mr. Kerry Casey. He's also an ordained minister, and you can win your very own autographed copy, I hope he doesn't mind, of his book, Championship Fathering, simply by visiting relationships360.com and entering your name and email address by midnight tomorrow night. So that's by midnight of July 31st, which is tomorrow. And the Relationships 360 marketing team will randomly select and contact the winner this Saturday on August 1st. And, of course, if you'd like to weigh in on tonight's show, you can give us a call at 714-409-0610. And the chat room is also open for your feedback. So the question before we headed into break, Casey, Should men be forced to pay child support for children they didn't want? I want to know your thoughts on that. And then, of course, you know, I would love for our audience to chime in as well.
Well, I would say this. Us men, or anyone, life is not where you can have your cake and eat it too. And when I say that, and President Obama talks about it, President Bush did as well, we work with both sides of the aisle because everybody has a dad, good, bad, or indifferent. Many men have a father wound. But if you are in the situation where you have the opportunity to bring God's creation of a child into this world, whether you want that child or not, it is your responsibility, because that is your seed. Each one of us were brought here through our Creator, God, and the way He did it was when a man and a woman came together. Now, sex is made for pleasure, yes, but it's also made for procreation. And if you are not responsible enough to work with your bride, that's the best way to do it, to be man and a woman and to be married. But if you are living in a way that you are dealing with self-gratification, and a baby comes or whatever, and you say you don't want to take care of the child, I can really say, and some people would be mad at me and say, I must say, we're being less than a man when we do that, because that little baby deserves the best, and the best is to have a mother and a father. Now, if a dad says, I do not want to pay child support, I did not want this baby, she tricked me, now that's okay. But think about it. That's part of you walking around in this world, and that baby will be seeking love, will be seeking coaching, will be seeking a model, and will be seeking, what can I do and how do I contribute to this great big world out here? And the last verse in the Old Testament, I know I'm going around the barn again, but the last verse in the Old Testament before God spoke to the writers to write the New Testament, in Malachi chapter 4 in verse 6, this is what God shared with us there in Malachi. I want to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the father, or the land will continue to be cursed. And the bottom line is, he didn't say children first. He said, I want to turn the hearts. Now, you can have the best mind in the world and be a evil person and do bad stuff. But he said, I want to turn the hearts. He didn't say, I want to turn the arm, I want to turn the legs or the body. He said, I want to turn the hearts of the fathers, didn't say turn it to the mom, said I want to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, hearts of the children to the father, or the land will continue to be cursed. Now, do the research in New York City tonight, in any of the New York Times or anything, of where someone committed a crime or did something out of the ordinary that the culture always talks about, let me do my own thing, don't bother me, it's my thing, I'll do what I want to do. But as soon as someone does something crazy, everybody's like, oh, that person's crazy. Put them in jail. They're weird. But we are welcoming the worst things to happen in our culture when we're not keeping each other accountable. And accountability is when you make a baby or when you get married, you do what you're supposed to do as a mother. You aren't supposed to be the only one to cook all the time. But there are certain domestic abilities that a woman has that a man does not have. A guy can learn it, but he can't do it like she can. But believe it or not, some guys say, Carrie, you're a real sissy. Every day you make your bed. Your bride, serve her. I make the bed. She makes it when I'm not here, but I want to serve her. When she's in the shower, I try to sneak in here and make the bed. Not only that, unload that dishwasher. I load it sometimes, but I don't load it as well as she does. But anyway, but unload that dishwasher, put her coffee out in the morning. I take the dirty clothes down. Now, some guys will say, man, you must be some type of sissy. No, I'm supposed to help her. But here's the point to answer your question. We, if we have responsibility to have a new car, what do you think we're going to do? We're going to wax and we're going to wash and wax that car. We're going to take care of it. We have a child, supposed to take care of it. Even if you can't see the child and if their dads, I know, are listening tonight, and there are some mothers, bless their hearts, don't like the dad, don't care for the dad, and I have to get on them as well thinking about,
and
well, why did
probably
you...
because they didn't have a father, and so they don't understand, you know, what they're doing to their child when they push the dad out of their life. But what I can see is really... a lot of patterns, you know, being set up, and, you know, we need to break the cycle, and, you know, that's what Relationships 360 is all about, is to bring these issues, you know, to the forefront for our listeners in hopes that, you know, each person, you know, will take what is being said and actually, you know, practice it, put it into practice. We talked about that at the top of the show. But Casey, I wanted to get in this comment really quick because this came in from a Jeff in Kansas City. We were talking about child support, so talking about financial support of children. Let's see, it says, Tiffany, I have a daughter that I am putting through college. Jasmine has 2 years left. I refuse to let my baby have a student loan for her first 4 years of college. I will even help her if she wants to go to grad school. I was watching TV this morning, and Judge Ross happened to be on there, and there was a case in which a child was suing her parents for $12,000. Anyway, during this proceeding, he happened to mention that the cost to raise a child in today's time is a little less than $250,000, not pesos or yen, dollars. Tiffany, if I have had to think about this and doing it over again, I don't know. Don't get me wrong. I love my daughter, but $250,000, and yes, I believe over her 20 years of life, I have spent that much and maybe more. I will just tell you, I don't know if I would do that again. So what response do you have to that for Jeff and, you know, other fathers that are out there thinking about the financial responsibility of raising a child and, you know, that being a big part of why they don't want to have children.
Right. And you have to deal with the economics of it all. And I don't mean to sound like everything's topsy-turvy and everything. I mean, everything, not topsy-turvy, but everything is just so wonderful in our family. We've had to really sit down, but two are better than one, as it states in Ecclesiastes in the Bible. I don't mean to sound preachy, but it is a fact. When you put your heads together, Melanie and I, we discuss even Chance's school. Now, he's 18, he's going to college in a month or whatever. But we discussed it. He had big scholarships at art institutes and different things, but we had to make the decision, what is the best school for Chance? So when you make those decisions economically, you're going to do what you have to do to work it out. But when you raise that child in loving them, coaching them, and modeling for them, those children will not turn on you. Some of them can lose their mind and listen to the popular culture, but I can sit with Chance and tell him, now, son, you're 18 now. You're not 16. You're 18. There's certain things if you do wrong, there's certain consequences to it. So you coach them along. You don't coach a baby, an adolescent, like you do an adult. And so we share a chance. Son, you can't be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Something could happen because of your age and all different type things. Now, but going back to what the gentleman was saying, naturally, he's watching this court show or whatever, and I like watching those at times. Interesting. But usually you're trying to get something rather than give something. And so you are at oppositions. You're opposite. You are battling in this type of thing. And so that is not right because you're trying to win. But a husband and bride can't battle each other and be a good model for the child. And so Chance, he learns his responsibility. My other children learn their responsibility. You get married, you move. You don't live here anymore and things of this nature. But the dad has to make the decision. But it's good when you inform your children, you inform your bride. Here's the one word I would say in answering this person's question. It's communication and communicating. If you assume, if you're not communicating, if you're not talking, you're going to get results that are not desirable because you're not on the same page. The reason why the Kansas City Chiefs will win, the reason why the New York Giants will win is when they go, and you said, you used a wonderful word that we don't use a lot of times, and that is practice. These teams will practice over a month before they will have a game. That's bottom line. They have worked off season, got ducks in a row to win. They look at it on the whiteboard. They look at plays in the video room. They have already scouted all of the teams of the last game they will play this year. Already. That's how much preparation goes into it. We make people sign – take a driver's test. We make people go to school and get big degrees in order to be a doctor, which I'm glad that we do, or even as a pastor. You are required, it's really good to get training. So why is it that we say, yeah, you can just have a relationship, the greatest covenant that has ever been made to man, made with man is a relationship with a man and woman getting married besides a relationship with Christ. This great covenant of marriage and all that, and we don't communicate, or we just
What do you feel, Casey, because we're coming up on time, what resources are available for men who have a hard time wrapping their head around becoming a father? You talked about the need for preparation, you know, practice, to be a parent, and maybe that's part of the problem is that men don't feel adequately prepared. They don't feel like, you know, they're financially prepared. They don't feel like they're emotionally prepared because they never got the emotional support from their own father, from society, those kinds of things. So what resources are available for men who are having a hard time wrapping their head around becoming a father? And we do understand the importance of being a father now and, you know, being in the child's life now. So we understand that. So what resources are available to help?
Oh, we had boatloads at the National Center for Fathering, but I do want to congratulate you and tell you this. What you're doing tonight and what you're doing on your show all the time, I applaud you big time, even to have the conversation, because many times we're not communicating, as I stated, and we're not having the conversation. It's just like when a man is attracted to a woman, she's attracted to him and all of this. But there's certain practice you must go through in counseling before you get down the road and make the baby. One of the greatest pleasures God has ever given us is sex. But if you don't do it within the realm of the law of how God made it, it can get out of whack. You will...
Was that the first thing? You have to have a relationship with God, because I'm also, you know, when I'm thinking about this issue, not only am I thinking about fatherless homes, but how it may be connected with, you know, men not being in the church as well.
You got it. For instance, if you are not being the best, if you're not going through training, well, put it this way, some of the greatest athletes will not make the New York Giants nor the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're better than some of the other players. And the reason why is because they're not prepared. They're not studying the playbook. If you don't learn the playbook, you will not make the team. That's bottom line. You got to learn what the Kansas City Chiefs and what plays they're running. You have to not only know the book, but you got to be in shape. When a game, when you're sweating and it's hard, you got to be in enough shape that it's going to carry you through that period. Same way with marriage, same way with being a father. It's hard being a dad. And I've been a dad for 37 years. My daughter's 37. I am still her dad. I will be her dad until I die. Adult children. And all this is not just like when they run around the house, don't do this, don't do that. And being a dad is not just telling them, do this, don't do that, or whatever. But you're coaching them along. And so we have boatloads of resources. I ask people, I encourage dads to visit www.fathers.com. Check out all of the amazing resources we have, Tiffany, at NCF that my team has put together. We have resources for dads in all fathering situations in our resource center. I am so proud of our team over the years of 25 years. Check this out. One thing we do is we provide a weekly email that offers weekly fathering ideas. Don't not turn on the radio. Don't not go to fathers.com. We perish many times, as it states in the Bible, for the lack of knowledge. There's knowledge there.
You know, that's, you know, why I have this show, is to educate, you know, not only men, but women, you know, about how to have, you know, successful relationships as well. So I want to ask you, you talked about all the wonderful resources at fathers.com, and again, it is a fantastic organization, fantastic team, very professional, responsive, all of that. You have, I mentioned at the top of the show, and I mentioned that we would talk about it later, two free resources, two free ebooks. Can you tell us the titles of those and how our audience can go about obtaining those?
Five things every child needs from their dad. Ebook, go and get it. But I think about this too, of what you just stated. Fathering ideas. Mothers need to go to this website. And the reason why is, when they go to it, they're going to say, wow. And they're going to say, babe, you need to join the championship fathering team and go to fathers.com and sign up and be a championship father. That's who you are, because you love our kids, you coach our kids, you model for them, and they can help the dad, even if they're divorced, when they are navigating the waters with their children, say, babe, here's a great resource. Advice, now listen to this, an inspiration, it's a priestly role. If you want a big-time title, don't try to get CEO. You can have all the titles you want, but if you don't have a testimony. So we're trying to help people. Go to fathers.com, get the weekly. We also offer the free ebooks, as we stated, available. You can download them. Thinking about this, Tiffany, fathering resources for purchase, many other programs, resources, right there on our website. But I think about this also. I hope dads would go, in fact, and go to our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, connect with your friends, do all that you do on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. But we have that, and we post daily fathering tips, daily tips and inspiration. So you're able to go there and hear from the head coach. I'm the head coach at the National Center for Fathering. You'll be able to get tips. All right, when you drive home and leaving your work at work, or when you're going to see your child at the divorced mother's home, and how you treat her. You are not supposed to be rude and to battle her and be antagonistic. You set the standard, dad, even if you're not living with the child's mother, and let that child see, wow, my dad's really respecting this woman. That's my mother. But then you can search for us naturally at NCF for dads and go and get the resources. Don't miss out because you didn't go and look, get the information, or don't listen to Tiffany Williams.
Hello, Relationship 360 Absolutely. And Casey, I have one last question for you tonight. And that question is what is the most amazing part about being a father? You know, we talked about, you know, all throughout this show about the reasons why men don't want to become fathers. But, and you've been painting a rosy view, you know, of marriage and that kind of thing throughout the show. But I wanted to know about what is the most amazing thing for you, or the most amazing thing, you know, during the time that you've been a father to your three children who are now adults. If there was like one thing that you could say, and then we'll kind of close the show with that.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm not a good painter, and painting a rosy picture is one thing, but I really think that if I work very hard at being the best man of God, husband and father, we will have a better chance in the country, not because of a big title or working with a wonderful organization. But if I can model for other folks, if other people can see it and they get it and see their role and cut off the curse, we can win with healthcare, education, and economics in this country. Because I would not let anybody hurt my family. I would do whatever I can to help my family. When I look at them, what turns me on is that I am literally growing something and watering that plant that will live a lot longer, hopefully, than I will ever live. And I will leave the world in a better place when I leave by taking care of my family. That is my greatest.
And that's the greatest, you know, respect, you know, that a man can have. So that is fantastic. So we'll leave the show with that. You know, do your part to continue humanity by being in your father's life. That's a whole another discussion, you know, that we could have. We can go on and on about this topic. But, you know, Casey, I would love for you to come back for the final show of Relationships 360, which is going to be, you know, very, very soon. I'm actually going to be wrapping up, you know, doing the show and going on to do other things. I don't know if you know, but I've done, oh gosh, probably, you know, over 100 shows. Now it's time to move on and do some other things and continue, you know, to help people to live positive, long-lasting, character-based relationships. But, yeah, I would love for you to come on for that. It'll be a lot longer. It'll be 3 hours as opposed to one. And we'll have many, many guests. So I would love for the audience to join us for that. And for you, Carrie, as well, you did a fantastic job on tonight's program. And hopefully you will accept my invite to come back.
Well, what you have done tonight, you have done very well, and I'm sure others that have been on in the past have been very blessed by what you're doing, Tiffany. And I am so proud, so thankful that you're doing what you're doing and getting the word out. And that's going to help change the culture in America and cut off things that have taken place. But I peeped at the last page, though. We went. So anyway, I look forward to being back as you would have privilege to invite me. I would be honored again.
Fantastic. And, you know, have a great rest of the week and a great weekend. Same to you guys in the audience. Be sure to visit relationships360.com. Enter your name and email address by midnight tomorrow for a chance to win a copy of Carrie Casey's best-selling book, Championship Fathering, with the foreword from former NFL coach Tony Dungy. Until next time, be blessed and be a blessing. Good night, and don't forget to visit fathers.com as well.
Tiffany.